Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Proverbs chapter 19, and I'd like to speak this morning on the subject of preventing waste. Verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. Look at verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. All of you with Schofield Reference Bibles, I just heard you change your page. Isn't that interesting? I noticed that. Verse 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Do me a favor, look at verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Look at verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Verse 13 speaks of a foolish son. Verse 18 says, chasten thy son. Verse 26 talks about the danger of wasting a father. Verse 27 talks about my son. So from beginning in verse 13 all the way down, and actually the entire chapter, Proverbs here, Solomon is giving instruction to children or to sons. Rarely in God's word, obviously, will you hear specific instruction to daughters. It is to sons. And we told you that specifically that you'll hear very little instruction to mothers. It'll be to fathers in the Bible, because the father, in God's eyes, is responsible for the home. But obviously here, when he's speaking to sons, he's talking to sons and daughters. It's obviously to the child role, but he deals with sons. Now, I want you to understand that from verse 13 on down through verse 29 is instruction to sons. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I'm not going to explain everything, but I want to give you a real quick outline, although it's not necessarily short, but I want you to understand that God deals with certain things on how to be a good son or daughter to your dad. And I noticed, number one, he talks about laziness. Look at verse 15. It says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Look, if you would, at verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. He talks about laziness. Second, he talks about listening. Look at verse 20. He says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. First, we find that he talks about listening to the wise. Look at verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. He talks about listening to the word. So listening to the wise, verse 20. Listening to the word, verse 21. Look at verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. That means listening to the wrong influences. Look at verse 28. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners. So he talks about listening to the word. He talks about listening to the wise. But in verse 27 to 29, he talks about listening to the warning. Beware of wrong influence in your life. Number three, he talks about lending. Look at verse 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. That means we should be generous people and giving people, and a son or a daughter that thinks of others and is giving and generous, that would make a happy father or mother. He talks, number four, about long suffering. Look at verse 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Anger. He talks about that you would make your mom or dad proud by being a patient person and patient with people and long-suffering and not one that flies off the handle and is angry so quickly at all the things. If you'll notice in verse 5, he talks about loving. Look at verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness. You know what will make a proud father, at least it should, is when their son or daughter is kind to people, when they're loving to people. We live in a generation that is not kind. They're not loving. And I'm preaching that just after having been in Los Angeles for 2 days. Stuck. You know, I told my wife the amount of time I was in the car for those 4 days, traveling in and out of Los Angeles, stuck in traffic. I could have driven to Florida and back. And, you know, you got to be patient, and you got traffic and all these things. And you know, the Bible says here that desire of man is his kindness. He talks also about laboring. Look at verse 24. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Here not only is he talking about laziness, but he's talking about being willing to work, laboring. Notice in verse number 7 that he talks about living. Look at verse 23. It says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Isn't that something? He that hath it, what? The fear of God, shall abide satisfied. Notice verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He talks about living, number one, in the fear of God, verse 23, but also number two, living in respect of authority, verse 25. Now that's just a freebie, because this is Father's Day, so we might as well give instruction to children. And I don't mean grown children, young children, whatever it is, that you know what, the Bible makes some things very clear how we as children are to act towards our parents and to people in general. But I want to begin number one today on this subject of preventing waste. Let me give you the verse that we're going to use, and then we'll go into every one of these points. But if you will, notice a verse that jumped out at me, and I thought that this was very interesting to me. Look at verse 26. It's what we'd like to deal with today. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. That word wasteth and the word chaseth are two interesting words. When he says that he that wasteth his father, it means that that word wasteth means to spoil. It means to ruin an opportunity. It means to let something that is good go bad, to spoil, to waste it. In other words, what he's saying is that, you know, the father role that you have in your life, be it a blood father or an adoptive father or whatever the case might be, that person that is that father role in your life, don't waste that. Don't spoil it. Don't let it come and go without it reaping benefits in your life. And so often we do, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And he talks about chasing away his mother. It doesn't mean that you scare your mother away and she runs away. It means either you push her away or you wander away from her. You chase away that instruction. And so many times young people, because they don't like rules and they don't like things at home and they don't like the standards that mom and dad have set forth in their home, and they get mad at things and they want to go a different route, and oftentimes they'll wander away, they'll rebel, they'll move away. And God says here, don't do that. It brings shame. And it doesn't just bring shame to the mom and dad. It will bring shame to you. Did you notice that? Look at verse 26. It says, is a son that causes shame. It didn't say it causes shame to mom and dad. It means that it causes shame to everybody involved. By the way, the day is going to come when you get older, you'll regret the way you treated mom and dad when you treat him that way. As we look at these verses, number one this morning, I want you to think about something a little bit out of the ballpark when it comes to Father's Day. Look at verse 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. How do we keep from preventing the opportunity that God has given us? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Bless us on Father's Day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give my comments to the children today. I don't mean children by age. I mean children by position. If you have parents and your parents are still alive, and by the way, this first point especially, even if your parents are not alive, especially your dad, I want you to listen to me. Number one, forgive your father. You say, this is kind of weird, preacher. Forgive your father. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. You know, the Bible has an interesting verse that we speak on quite a bit. The Bible says this in Ephesians. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And we often speak about that. And why is it that the Bible never said anything to mothers? Why does it say that to fathers? And we talked about this recently as we're going through Ephesians on Wednesday night. And it's often because of this, that it means that it is easy and very common for children to resent or to be angry with their dads. In fact, it is even more common and even easier for sons to resent their fathers. And there are some reasons for this, and often it's because that dad or father is the first symbol of authority to that child. Now, there are obviously sometimes homes that don't have a father, and broken homes, and fathers died, or father and mom have divorced, whatever the case might be, and you have single parents, and I understand that there's different scenarios there, but oftentimes that father role, he is the first symbol of authority, and he is the first symbol of strong authority, and oftentimes the father role, they are the ones that executed the discipline. And I don't know all the dynamics, and I don't know all the reasons, but the Bible says for fathers not to provoke their children to wrath, which means God is saying, fathers, you've got to be careful, because it will be very easy for your children to have wrath towards you. And then we find in Proverbs 19, it says, a man that hath great wrath shall suffer punishment. And he's speaking to sons here. You say, preacher, what in the world are you saying? Oftentimes, mothers are the more emotional, nurturing, and compassionate role in the parents. And oftentimes the dad is the responsible one and the strong one and the disciplinarian. And I'm here to say that oftentimes that dynamic can cause many problems. And here this morning, I want you to understand that there are often families that get together and they eat together and they do things together, but there is inbred, in-depth resentment towards the father. And I want to give you a challenge this morning. Maybe you didn't have the greatest dad in the world. Maybe your dad didn't display the ideal father role to you. But I want to challenge you this morning, forgive your father. Being a father is not as easy as you think. And oftentimes you'll find that young men that resented father and were mad at father and all these different things, when they get children of their own, and if they get married and they have children and those children get to an age, and if not before then, especially when they hit teenage years, all of a sudden they begin to forgive father. Because they realize how easy it is and how difficult it is. And I want to challenge you this morning for Father's Day. If there's resentment and if there's things, it doesn't mean that you can change them. And oftentimes you can't change dad and you can't change father. And maybe there's some things that you don't like and some things that are uncomfortable. Whatever the case might be, I mean in your own heart and in your own mind, I want to challenge you for your own spiritual condition. Forgive your father. Now, I would say the exact same thing if my dad was here. But there have been times in my life where I've just had to forgive him. It's not easy being a dad. And you know what? There's always things that you make mistakes and nobody's perfect. But for some reason, oftentimes we seem to hold dad to a high standard, that he must meet our expectations. And I'm here to tell you that we're all human and we're all flesh. But I am telling you that there have been times in my life where my dad and I absolutely clashed. If there was a stronger word than clashed, I would use it. You ever heard the movie Clash of the Titans? That was a biographical pic of my dad and my relationship. You ever try not to get along with your dad in a 31-foot travel trailer? It's what I grew up in. I'll never forget the end of my junior year of high school. I'll never forget one of my dad and my's love sessions. We're in our metal Airstream travel trailer. And it got physical. I'm just being honest. I would do it if he was here. He's not here, so don't you tell him. I'm kind of lying, saying I would do it if he was here, but it sounds good, so. No, I would. It got to shoving, it got to pushing, it got to fighting, it got to whatever. And I don't know why, can't ever explain why, but some of you sons might have the understanding that you respect, you admire, and you love, but you clash with dad. And it got to the point my mom finally had to step in between. I think we broke a cabinet, we broke something else in that travel trailer. And my mom, that's enough! You see, you're looking at an individual that I don't know if God would have ever allowed me to pastor a church if I had not forgiven father. You see, it's easier sometimes for dad to forgive sons because you're a dad and you love them. But sometimes it's hard for sons to forgive father. This seems like a very strange thing to speak at Father's Day, but there are some of you here that have ingrained resentment. And while you get along and you've made efforts and you love them because you know now, there's still some things. And I want to urge you that the Bible says that when you have wrath, you suffer punishment. You will suffer from this. Forgive your father. Number two, I want you to notice in this, learn from your father. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand. There's something I'll tell you. I had a horrible dad and a horrible father role. There wasn't anything I could learn. Dear friend, there's always something you can learn. Look at verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. In other words, there's a lot of things pulling on you. There's a lot of different ways to learn things. You can learn the easy way, the hard way. And there's a lot of sticks in the fire when it comes to the role of son and father and daughter and father. But notice this. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. So what is this verse teaching us? It means that you have to hear counsel, you have to receive counsel, and then you have to apply it to your life. Notice verse 20. Hear counsel, receive instructions, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. I know a lot of people that hear it, but they don't receive it. And I am telling you that you and I, literally, we are going to waste our father. It could be good, it could be bad, but there's always something you can learn. So learn what we need to learn from our father. Hear it, receive it, apply it. While all these things are going on, remember that only the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Learn from your father. I could tell you all kinds of things I learned from my father. I learned how to fish from my father. I learned how to play golf from my father to a certain level. Now he needs to learn from me. But other than that, I learned how to throw a spiral from my father. I learned how to hit baseball and catch and different things. I love sports. I played every sport that our school had. And I loved it. And I learned that all from my dad. And you know what? But I also learned from my dad how to put an outline together to preach. Now, that's something that not everybody learns from their dad. But I learned that. I learned how to study. I learned from my dad how to treat my wife. I learned from my dad how to parent. Good or bad, that was my example. Learn. And oftentimes we get stuck on one thing and we don't learn all the rest of the things. And if there's something that's been difficult or there's something that's strange and strained between, whatever the case might be, don't waste it. There's a lot to learn. Learn from your fathers. It's not easy being a father. Number three, I want you to notice this. Honor your father. Look at verse 13. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. Look at verse 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. In other words, when you reprove somebody, a person that's wise and understands, they'll get smarter from it. But somebody that's rebellious, and you try to reprove them or correct them, I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to help anybody. Honor your father. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. The Bible says, honor. That means to put in a place of preeminence. We have great examples here at this church, by the way. We have individuals now that still have mom and dad alive and still have mom and dad here. They take care of them. They really do. Now listen, I want you to know something. I could give example after example. But I don't have time to tell everybody. But I'm just going to give you a couple things. And I hated that Joan Bernard had to go through the death of a parent. But I'm going to tell you something. Joan went just about every day. And it might have been every day if they weren't on vacation or out of town somewhere. Every day to the nursing home. I've watched Wayne honor his dad. He takes care of his dad. His whole family does. Their whole family respects Charlie because dad respects Charlie, and Wayne's an only child, and he has always honored his mom and dad. And I'm going to tell you something. God blesses people like that. We have a generation that we flew home from Los Angeles. My wife and I were in the very last row in the corner. And I told that stewardess, nobody puts baby in the corner. But she didn't listen to me. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, you're a spiritual person. Apparently more spiritual than your pastor is. I only know that because my wife used that over the years. That's the only reason I know that. We're sitting there, and two rows in front was a gentleman and his wife, and looked like a 4 or 5-year-old. All of us know, even if you have a perfect 4 or 5-year-old, the airplane will bring out the demon in all of them. Two people you don't want to sit by you. Somebody with children, and you know the other one. You ever been sitting on a plane and people are coming in and you know somebody's going to be sitting by you and you're watching and all of a sudden you see some guy come in and you're like, oh, Lord, no. And they wiggle in there next to you, you know. And you're like, aah! I know because I'm that guy. All right. My wife and I are sitting back there and the plane had not taken off and this man and this little boy, I mean, it started off. Mommy said, listen, you need to say, no, no. We had 6 hours on this flight. We got off the plane. We were picking up our luggage, and our other guys, some staff, they were sitting in different places, and they came up, and I was looking across the luggage cart thing, that whatever you call it, and I said, you see that kid over there? I said, 6 hours. Mom, no, nah. You say, preacher, you shouldn't criticize. I'm criticizing. Because I guarantee you mine would have done that probably, but it would have lasted about 30 seconds, and old dad would have had a visit to the bathroom with them. I would have kept flushing the toilet to hide the noise. Because I don't want to get arrested. But I'm going to tell you something. It went on and on. We have a generation of parents that have allowed their children not to honor them, not to respect them. The problem is that has we've borne the fruit of that now, and we have a generation of people that resent mom and dad. They never honored them, they never respected them, and now they're teaching this next generation, and it's going to keep going and going and going. And God said we are to honor them. Honor your father. Yeah, preacher, you don't know it. Listen. Honor, if you can't even honor the man, honor the position. Number 4, be kind to your father. Look, if you go to verse 22, the desire of a man is his kindness. In other words, that's a trait to be desired. It's kindness. The Bible tells us much about that, but obviously the Bible says for us to be tender-hearted, to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kind. I want to challenge you, especially for those that have older fathers and older parents, whatever, be kind to them. Be meek to them. Now, I'm not good at this sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, but be kind. That's to be something that we strive for. You say, well, he wasn't kind to me when I was younger. You know what? Last time I checked, God didn't give the reproach or the instruction to dad here. He gave it to us. Be kind. So much I want to say to that for sake of time this morning. I want to respect your time on Father's Day. Number 5, this is the last point. Thank your father. Thank your father. Some of you would say, preacher, I would love to be able to, but he's not here, and I understand that. But if you're able, thank your father. Verse 26, he that wasteth his father is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. You got to realize it's not easy to be a father. It is not easy to work and pay the bills. Now, I know a lot of our homes, mom and dad work, and I understand that, but the dad role God has just given the responsibility to. It is not easy to put your desires and enjoyments aside to make your family the priority. It is not easy to pay for all the things that cost money. Most, until they get a family and married and all, understand what it, if your job doesn't have it and you got to buy insurance, just insurance for your family. You know what that costs. When you start filling up the gas tank and you start paying the house bill, and that means you got cable and you got water and you got utilities and you got house insurance and you got this and you got that. And all of a sudden we find out it's not as easy. It's not easy to often miss out on a lot of time with your children because of your work schedule. And then children and mom resent you because of it. It's not easy. You say, well, preacher, you sound like you're defending dads this morning. If this is the one day a year I can. I mean, God gives more instruction to the men than He does the women. He gives more instruction to husbands than He does the wives. And I understand that. We're the ones responsible, and God holds us accountable. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't get a lot of defending sometimes. And I am telling you, it is not easy. And for all the, even the wives, and you'll come close to understand how hard sometimes husband works, but you don't even know what it's like to be a husband or a dad. And I know we don't know what it's like to be a mom, and we don't understand a lot of things, but I am telling you, when you have the responsibility on your shoulders and the weight of that burden, nobody knows what that's like till you're there. Fathers are often misunderstood. Often misunderstood. The things that they end up having to do because to be responsible and to provide like they're supposed to, they're often are thrown back in their face by their family. They want all the things that money can buy, but when dad is gone working to make that money, they get mad and they get all the things, and then they grow up and say, dad wasn't there. Well, we can't have it both ways. It's not easy to say no when everybody else in the family wants something because you're the one trying to be responsible. Can't tell you how many times I got mad at my dad when I said, I want a dog. No. We lived in a 31-foot travel trailer. Guess who was going to end up having to take that dog out early every morning? My dad. I wanted a puppy. You know how long fun with a puppy lasts? About 4 or 5 months. Now you got a dog and they don't want him. You wake him up at 6 a.m. with the dogs going crazy, trying to get out. You go take him out. Kids are like, no. So guess who has to do it? Dad does. You know what it is sometimes when kids want something and they go to dad and dad knows better and he has the wisdom or something and he has to say no and he has to say, no, we can't do that right now. And oftentimes I'm up because moms, and don't get mad at me, moms, but they're the more emotional ones and they're emotionally attached and kids want this and so they're emotionally involved and yeah, we can do this. And dad says, no, we can't do that. Everybody's mad at dad and he's simply doing what God's asked him to do. Some of you are like, you act angry. No, I'm not. I was reading in a book of a young successful attorney, and he wrote this. He said, the greatest gift I ever received was a gift I got one Christmas when my dad gave me a small box. Inside was a note saying, son, this year I will give you 365 hours. An hour every day after dinner, it's yours. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll go where you want to go. We'll play what you want to play. It will be your hour every day. This young attorney said, my dad not only kept his promise, but every year he renewed it. And it's the greatest gift I ever had in my life. I am the result of his time.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kerwin Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.